We worship together as always in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. Sovereign God, ruler of all hearts, you call us to obey you, and you favor us with true freedom. Keep us faithful to the ways of your Son, that, leaving behind all that hinders us, we may steadfastly follow your path through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading for today is from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 15 through 16, and verses 19 through 21. A reading from 1 Kings. Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. You shall also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mahalah, as a prophet in your place." So he set out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the ox and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen, and slaughtered them. Using the equipment from the oxen, he boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. Word of God, word of life. Please join with me in reading of Psalm 16. "Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, 'You are my Lord, my good above all other.' But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope. You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Our second reading for today is found in the New Testament book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 1 and 13 through 25. A reading from Galatians. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned to rebuke them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, set us free. Amen. Being it's the Sunday before the 4th of July, I'm going with our second lesson in Paul's message about freedom this morning. That's not even true. I have to be honest. The decision to go with the second lesson today had nothing to do with the 4th of July coming this week. It's actually just a nice coincidence that it is. But before I get into talking about Paul's idea of freedom and slavery, my main point for today, The teacher inside me says I have to talk about one other thing. I need to address something in this reading today that I think is often misunderstood or misinterpreted. Here's that one thing before we really get to the main point. Paul writes in verse 17, "For what the flesh desires is opposed to the spirit, and what the spirit desires is opposed to the flesh." This is a theme throughout Paul's writing. The idea that there is a war between the flesh and the spirit. What I worry about is how our modern ears hear that. We, who have been deeply influenced by Greek thinking, typically interpret this wrongly. We have been conditioned to hear this in a way that Paul did not actually mean it. I think when we hear that the flesh is opposed to the spirit and the spirit is opposed to the flesh, we assume Paul is writing about a war within ourselves. We read it as though this opposition happens inside of who we are. It is that struggle at the end of supper. Do I have a second piece of dessert? My spirit says, no, I shouldn't. My flesh says, yummy, have more. Or for those of you who know me, know this real battle has to do with pizza. There's pizza left and everyone else is done eating. Don't finish it. Eat all the rest. Don't finish it. Eat all the rest. That is the struggle, the war that goes on inside me. I don't know if you know this or not. At my first congregation in northern Minnesota, they called me Pizza Steve, not Pastor Steve. That sort of struggle is not what Paul is talking about when he talks about the flesh being opposed to the spirit. Paul is not talking about my flesh wanting one thing and my spirit wanting something else, and my flesh wants what's bad and my spirit wants what is good. That's not what is going on here. When Paul says flesh, he means the whole human being, not just some part of the human being. And our translators try to make that clear. In the translation, if you'll notice, they actually capitalize the word spirit. Okay. When Paul says spirit, he's not talking about our spirit or part of us. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, not some part of the human being. So our translators, again, try to make that clear by capitalizing spirit in the translation. So what Paul is really saying is that what is flesh is opposed to what is spirit. What is human is opposed to what is divine. Paul is not describing a war within ourselves. Paul is talking about something much bigger, the war between God and sinful human beings. And his point is, we humans do not want what God wants. And what God wants is not what we want. Okay? But I think with our Greek conditioning, we don't read it that way automatically. So the teacher and me had to set that straight. But now, on to the real point for today, which is actually related as well. When I was going through this reading with a fine-toothed comb, studying it to prepare for some sort of message today, something jumped out at me that never has before. Paul starts out saying, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." Then Paul says, "Stand firm. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." So Paul is saying, stay free. Insist on your freedom. Don't give it up. Now, I'm guessing all kinds of things might go through your head when you think about what you would do if you could be totally free. In fact, if there had been children here, that's what I wanted to do in a children's sermon, was ask them, what do you think freedom means? What would you do if you were completely free? I think it would have been fun to hear what kind of things they would have said. I think it'd also be fun to hear what kind of things you might say. But we're not going to go there. But I think when we hear freedom, all kinds of things might start stirring up here. And as Americans, I think most of us think freedom means I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. But Paul's next line in the gospel does not go there. Paul's next line is, for you were called to freedom, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. Does this seem strange to any of you? First, Paul says, we have been freed from slavery. Then he says we should use our freedom to be slaves. Have you ever caught that before? So we are freed from slavery to go into slavery. What? Most of us would say being slaves to one another is not freedom. At least the American in us wouldn't go along with that. Freedom is doing whatever I want. Huh? Freedom is doing whatever I want, whenever I want, wherever I want. That's the way we think about freedom as Americans, isn't it? And don't we all think if we could actually do whatever we wanted, whenever we wanted, wherever we wanted, that would be the truest freedom of all? But Paul is challenging that whole idea. And I want to challenge that idea as well. In fact, this is an idea I throw out to students in my critical thinking class at Waldorf. I talk to them about our notion of freedom, this idea of doing whatever I want, wherever I want, whenever I want. And semester after semester, they convince me that I am right. That is the way people think about freedom. It means being able to do whatever you want. But I pose this question to them every semester. And today, I pose this question to you. Is doing whatever you want freedom? Is doing whatever you want freedom? Or is doing whatever you want slavery to your own wants and desires? Or is doing whatever you want slavery to your own wants and desires? Is the truest freedom of all to be free from your own wants and desires? Is the truest freedom to be free even from yourself? That is the freedom Christ comes to bring. For freedom, Christ has set you free, free even from yourself and your own wants and desires. That is the truest freedom of all. And it is yours in Christ. Amen.
And with the whole church, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which can be found on page 105. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The intercessory prayers are the prayers from the congregation, so I'm going to stand in the middle of the congregation this morning as we offer up our prayers to God. Joining our voices with God's people around the world, let us offer our prayers for those in need. For all the followers of Christ, for the church and its ministers, and for the mission of the gospel, that all will know the gifts of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. For the wilderness and deserts, for the rainforest and the tundra, for native lands and farmland, and for all who tend the land, that God's mighty work be seen in all creation. Let us pray. For those who govern in Canada and the United States, for those responsible for peace among people and nations, including those who serve in our military, and for those who strive for freedom, that all are guided by Christ's commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves. Let us pray. For refugees in need of protection, for the homeless in need of shelter, for those who work in the summer's heat, for those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, and we especially lift up the names of those printed in our bulletin. So we pray for Heather, Melissa, Duane, Karen, Aon, Anita, Catherine, Tim, Evangelical Lutheran Church, the Mongolese, missionaries Colin, Jenny, Josie, and Amos, and missionary Karen. That God provide compassionate advocates and skilled medical professionals to aid them, let us pray. Lord, we want to follow you wherever you lead. Reach out to us this day, stirring our souls and spirits with the winds of your power, that we may be faithfully your disciples. Let us pray. For those who travel this summer, for those celebrating significant events in their lives, and for this community of faith, that the love of Christ be present in our joy and pleasure, let us pray. In thanksgiving for those who rest in the hope of the resurrection, that with them we receive assurance that God does not abandon us in any time or place, let us pray. Merciful God, you hear the prayers of your people even before they are spoken. We commend these and all our prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing. Live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, and abound in thanksgiving. And the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Go in peace. Share God's love.
Thanks be to God.